and welcome to the T3 podcast, consuming 0.3% of your time every week. Returns not accepted. Coming up on this week's show, more news than we've ever seen before. Maybe not in quality, but in terms of quantity, it's coming out of our ears. We've got news from E3, where Nintendo and Sony unveiled actual hardware. There's something we haven't seen for a while, with the Wii U and Sony Vita. And of course, from Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference, no hardware, but a lot. We mean a lot to chew over with iOS 5, OS X Lion, and iCloud. Plus, we've all the usual guff, including my co-host, the lovely Ree Morgan, and no Duncan this week. So it's Adam, the boy, Bunker. Welcome.
Hello. Just refer to us as guff?
No.
We are all the usual guff.
There was no
all the usual guff, no, including my co-host.
I'm special guest guff.
Though. No guff
yeah, you
involved.
Are. You're not even like regular guff. I'm tired, Dan.
You're tired.
You're tuckered out. Yeah, I know.
Tell us about your week.
You haven't been to LA and back within inside of 36 hours, have you?
You didn't even know what day it was on Tuesday.
I had two breakfasts on Tuesday. That tells you what kind of day
I had. But he did it for a very good reason,
he
which
did
we
indeed.
Will come into
he did indeed.
Very soon. There's no dunks, there's no rant.
That was a mini rant about me being tired.
So why are you tired?
Mini rant.
Well, basically, Monday I was here until 10:30. I was here until 10:30, then I was working until 2 a.m. at home. Okay. Then Tuesday, I was here until 8. And then Wednesday, I was ill.
That's because you were working too late.
I was ill. Yeah. I was ill. And then today, I still feel dodgy.
So you've soldiered on and come in today.
Yeah. I've got a mini rant that Universal Plug Adapter in LA costs $18.
You got done. I got one in Florida for like $4.
I probably have about...
You didn't buy it at the airport, did you?
No, I bought it at the hotel. They didn't have any behind reception. That's good.
They never do. They never do have some behind reception.
Oh, we just found out. Go to the gift shop.
Ree, have you noticed that Adam's microphone has a little pink bow tied to it this week?
Oh my God, so I have. What's that? It's like we knew you were coming and we've just gone like, welcome back from LA.
There we are. Anyway... on, shall we, to our top story, or rather, stories, beginning as the week did, shall we, with Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference.
So you look ill.
We've got... Well, Adam.
Don't lower the tone.
We've got iOS 5, Lion, and iCloud. What do we want to tackle first?
You've forgotten the big one.
What, the big one?
iTunes Match.
That's part of iCloud.
Oh, right, okay. Okay, let's go there then first.
All right, iCloud.
iCloud. Explain it to me, Dan.
What's the cloud? Is it the future?
Let's go to the cloud. Well, we've had this discussion before.
It's all about cloud computing, you see, kids.
Yeah.
Now, I think this is actually, this is the first coherent put together of cloud computing. So, okay, we've got Google, right? And they've got their little, what's it called? Their
Google little... Cloud Drive. No, that's Amazon.
Their little computer.
Yeah, Chromebook.
Good God, three technology journalists.
Well, you just kept on doing like a clown thing and then
universal
just saying
sign.
Google.
It's the universal sign for a Chromebook.
It's like Google clown.
It's already part of international sign language. You do a little clap like that, that's a Chromebook.
It's fine.
Okay, so Google's got their Chromebook, which is kind of the epitome of cloud computing, but it's just a Chromebook. That's, you know,
yeah,
they've not really worked out how maybe that might work with a PC properly. And all that. And then you've got Amazon, but that's really more to do with music. And
yeah, it is, yeah.
And that's US only at the minute.
And it's US only at the minute. You know, so it's not we're not talking about a full cloud computing suite. Now, what Apple have done, I think, has really gone, okay, cloud computing, let's do it.
Yeah.
And they've come up with a full solution, and they've come up with a rationale for doing it. They've said, okay, so it used to be that your PC or your Mac was that your hub, and that's where you stored all your content and you synced everything to it.
Yeah.
But now everyone's a bit pissed off with that because they've got umpteen devices and all this kind of thing. So, right, downgrade the hub to just another device and we'll stick the hub in the sky.
I did like his explanation of that. I did like the fact that he's, you know, simplified at the point where they said, yeah, all your devices do the same thing now. You know, it used to be your PC could play music and go on the internet.
But also your PC had to be the storage thing because it was the only thing that had a load of storage with it.
Yeah, but now they've got
their
big farms,
haven't they?
Now you can just send it to the cloud.
They call it the cloud and it's all pretty, but really it's just a big, dirty warehouse.
And he also did a good job of explaining that it's not just a big hard drive in the sky because we've got, you know, Dropbox and things like that. We've got facilities to just store files in the ether. But this is a bit more than that. So you take a picture, it's instantly sent to all your other devices, it's instantly accessible. I like the idea of getting rid of a file manager. You know, you don't have files and folders anymore. You just have pictures, and they're organized in a sensible fashion, and music, yeah. and they're organized in a sensible fashion. They're not files in a folder.
No, they're just your things.
In a tree of folders.
And was it, am I right, I think it was 5 gig?
Yeah, which doesn't sound a lot.
Yeah, that's what I was a bit...
But...
That's not music.
Yes.
Yeah, or so pictures, is
take
it?
Take out of that your music and your pictures.
Yeah.
They're big hard disk eaters.
Yeah. That's a lot of space for just documents.
Yeah,
and,
so exactly. You're just talking documents. I don't think it even includes your mail. So
I think it does include
Does it include the mail?
Oh, maybe not. No.
So, you know, we're basically... And that the 5 gig is free. You only pay for the music portion of this if you go for the music service. Mm. So that's pretty...
Yeah, which is a big quite, step up for, just, from you know, 60 quid a year from mobile me.
Yeah, in fact we've got Steve Jobs. So this is Steve Jobs explaining iCloud, and he does mention mobile me towards the end. Here we go.
iCloud stores your content in the cloud and wirelessly pushes it to all your devices. So it automatically uploads it, stores it, and automatically pushes it to all your other devices. But also, it's completely integrated with your apps. And so everything happens automatically, and there's nothing new to learn. It just all works. It just works.
Woo! Woo! Hey, Steve!
Now, you might ask, why should I believe them? They're the ones that brought me Mobile Me.
Frank admission there.
Yeah. He was like, we didn't get it right with Mobile Me.
Yeah, pretty rubbish.
The worst thing, someone in our office bought Mobile Me the day before WWDC.
I've heard a couple of people say this.
I've never understood the point of it other than...
Well, I've never understood it. If you've got Gmail, just use that. Don't pay Apple for Mobile
Me. £60 for an email account that also, you know, manages your contacts.
It's when mad.
I don't get it.
Absurd. But now, free... Mobile Me gone, thank God, and it's so much more than Mobile Me, so everyone's happy.
Yes.
Yeah.
We like iCloud.
Well, I do like iCloud. Because you're sat there with the Mac Air in front of you.
I am, yeah.
It's a massive win for Mac Air people. iTunes Match. iTunes
with my
Match.
Little hard drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, iTunes Match, what a great...
I don't know, okay? I've got varying opinions on this. So the way I understand it is that in the cloud.
The cloud.
This iTunes Match, you have to pay for it, will scan all your hard drive for the music you have. And if they have a song on iTunes that you have on your hard drive, even though it might not have been bought from iTunes, you could have ripped a really shoddy quality one. In the cloud, it will give you the iTunes version of it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. So what's nice about Apple services, because all the others, you've got to like around... uploading stuff to the cloud, and then you can listen to it from the cloud. Great. Apple's gone, well, we've got all this music. It's already on our hard drives. So any iTunes that you've bought, we've got records for that. So tick, 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 they're all ticked in your cloud, and you can access them straight away. But, you know, maybe you've bought CDs and you spent time ripping them to your hard drive, or, you know, maybe you've been on LimeWire a bit too much.
Yeah.
And, you know, but whatever, you've got other music on your hard drive, so it scans them all, and then instead of uploading that several gig of music, it goes, well, you know what, we've got 90% of these already in the cloud, so here just they are in perfect 256 kilobyte quality, you know, listen to them to your heart's content.
I know that's a nice to have, but it's not that necessary, I don't think.
Well, it means you don't have to keep uploading music. It's just, you know, within a they talked about it taking minutes.
Well, no, but is that then saved? You've got to have a data connection to access it then.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you do.
And that's always been the thing of an iPod, is you don't need any data connection, so you play the music that you own. So
true.
Like,
yeah.
And but there's nothing to stop you syncing X amount of music to your iPhone or whatever and having it there with you on the tube or wherever, if you haven't got a data connection. But also, when you have got a data connection, then hooking up to the cloud and going, okay, well, I've now got, you know, unlimited gigabytes of music.
Yeah, but again, I mean... I mean, maybe I'm biased because my only real use of a personal music player thing is on the tube when I don't have signal. Mm. But, you know, everyone's data contract has 500 meg of data a month. And if suddenly they're saying, hey, don't listen to that on your stored thing, start streaming it all the time. That's going to eat into people's data.
Yeah, that does remain to be seen. I mean, Wi-Fi is, you know, is going to be the only way to do it. But, yeah, it's going to eat into people's data. But, see, I'm a Napster user attached to a Sonar, so I'm totally used now to not ever physically having music. I just, you know, essentially take it from Napster's cloud. You know, so this makes perfect sense to me. I think it's great. So, okay, so that's iCloud.
Yeah.
iOS 5.
I was quite excited by this. Well, a lot of people are saying they've ripped.
Oh, but they've always done that. What they do
everyone rips everyone else's ideas.
The stuff that someone else has done, but they make it look really pretty and nice, and nobody really minds in the end.
It's
one of those things where, the things like the scroll down notifications thing that's on Android, and and they've stolen BBM for the thing. I mean,
that's going to steal
so many people. It's basically like the WhatsApp or
BlackBerry Messenger thing that, you know, it's just that. But they make it all look very nice. And so it's all to the point where everything is so much of a muchness now between the phones that.
Yeah. But I think iMessage is going to be a massive win because people buy BlackBerry just because of BBM.
Do they still?
Yeah, they do. Like the teenagers in the US, I think they buy BlackBerry
Messenger, BlackBerrys because they can get them on contract for free rather than paying 150 quid.
Maybe.
There might be a bit in that. But, I mean, we've got iOS 5. Mm. Great. But no iPhone.
I know.
iPhone. Where's the hardware?
September. Apparently.
That's Paddy Power has slashed the odds on a September launch.
Really?
I think...
Mm. I always go by Paddy Power.
You know, because what they've normally done in the past, right, is June has been the iPhone thing.
Yeah.
And September has been the iPod thing.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a radical kind of downsizing of what the iPod actually
is. I think
is.
They're trying to bin the iPods.
Oh, definitely. I think there'll still be the iPod Touch and there'll be the Nano.
Yeah. Shuffle?
I think, I don't know who buys that, but they'll probably get rid of the Classic, I reckon, and just then do iPhone 5 and go, these are your music devices now. And then forget having an iPod update every September. They'll just
maybe the iPhone.
Which brings us to Lion. Like an iron in Zion.
I'm excited about Lion.
Yeah?
The cheapness of it. For 25 quid.
Brilliant value.
For 25
quid.
Amazing value.
It's now just a complete no-brainer. You know, that's okay. I won't drink tonight. And I'll,
How often is it? Do we say...
I'll have a new...
We never ever say how amazing value is Apple. But this time it was like, amazing. Your band, Anna, does everything for you. I love, they're so...
I know they've been working towards this for a while, but you know the whole... not Launchpad. The view where you can see all the apps exactly like it is on iOS.
Yeah.
Great idea.
I mean, they're just making the computer now completely idiot-proof.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's nothing that you couldn't understand on that. It's like, you go to this program, this Mac App Store, all the software you want to download is on there. You press it, it's installed. You look at it, you click in, it opens. Yeah. Like, there's no computer knowledge needed.
All the autosave features as well. Just nice, you know. Because I'm very old school. I use Notepad to write everything because I like the fact that it strips out any formatting and all that kind of stuff. And it's very clean. So there's Notepad on Windows. There's Notepad on the Mac. Notepad on Windows, the number of times I've had like a power cut or something, and I've lost hours of work because it has no autosave. I love the fact that the Notepad on Mac autosave. So I'm a big fan of autosave.
You know the one feature that I am really excited about for OS X Lion? And it's like the least important one out of the whole thing. It's just that button that makes things like full screen.
Full screen apps.
Really pisses me off, like dragging the bottom corner of a window. Because I like to look at things like... I'm not one of those Mac users who has like little tiny windows.
Especially a MacBook Air. Well, exactly. Yeah. Like a huge screen,
I like to open a thing and have it that, and then I can swap between just by, you know, seeing when you do that view that shows everything. So just a button that makes it all full screen.
Yeah, and then you can swipe through them, can't you? The apps you've got open.
I mean, we saw Windows 8 last week. We were talking about it last week. This OS X Lion feels like nice new features, but it's very much an evolution. You know, you're not going to look at it and go, oh, God, man, this is completely different to Snow Leopard or whatever. So, but Windows 8, total transform.
It's bizarre, though.
It's like, you know, they've gone, well, let's just bin Windows and we'll start again.
You say that, it was weird, because the video was like, okay, this is what it's going to look like. Mm. Oh, it's really pretty and nice. A bit weird. I have to get used to. I'll have to learn that, but it looks cool. And then I'm like, it's still got all the stuff that you love. And then they clicked on like Word or Excel or something.
And it just went back to how Windows normally looks.
Windows 7.
Yeah, so we were saying this. It just feels like a skin. Maybe.
Yeah, it's just a skin over the top of old Windows.
Yeah. So it's not radical.
No.
But nice, but nice features.
But then I guess you could argue that Windows is a skin over like MS DOS or something.
Well, it's certainly it was for a long time. What up to sort of Windows 95 and all that? It was just on top. You know,
every it always is sometimes.
It would leap back into MS DOS.
Yeah. Also, I'm excited for a touchscreen iMac.
Yeah,
it's bound to happen.
Got
like
to.
That
Got
is.
To.
Oh well, now
with Lion OS X,
now they've
with
got
that.
All the app view and stuff.
Yeah,
that it will happen. Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's an easy step, isn't it?
Okay, and we could carry on talking about what Apple launched and didn't launch for about another half hour or so, but we've still got to do E3. So, T3 were there as well.
Yep.
Where we, Adam had a monster exclusive. So let's start with that.
Yeah.
What was going down in the at E3?
You may have heard of this Wii U.
Oh, tell me about it.
Terrible name.
Which I have said a lot of times over the last week. Nintendo launched a new thing, but the day before the keynote announcement, we were invited backstage to go and play it and to see it.
So you were
great.
Essentially, the outside of Nintendo, the first person
they
to
play
this.
They said that, like you can count on one hand the amount of people outside of Nintendo
that's
who played
extraordinary.
It. And I was in this little room, and it was funny though, because it was one of those things where they showed it to me and I played it, and then every question that you would logically ask, they were like, we can't answer that. We can't,
and
not going to talk about
you
that.
You weren't there for E3, were you? You were flown just for this.
Michael Saw, T3's Michael Saw, is at E3 now and has been all week reporting on everything else.
Yeah.
It's just that this thing...
Well, he couldn't go. Is it the Microsoft keynote was on at the same time?
It happened at the exact same time as the Microsoft keynote, which was the day before the Nintendo keynote. I was on a bit of a whistle-stop tour.
What happened in the office? Well, anyone can able to nip over to E3?
That's what
Yep.
That's what actually happened. It was like last week.
It was very
we got
last
pulled
minute,
in. We were like, right. They talked to me. They were like, Reem, we need to go and do a video. And I was like, what? And it's like, the Wii 2. Where is it? LA. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, we're not allowed to do video. Adam was reeled in. He was like, oh, Adam, we need to... I think you got told Thursday, didn't you?
On Thursday.
Or Wednesday or Thursday.
They said, can you go to LA on the weekend? I was like,
okay. So that's how it happened. What did you think of it?
I really liked it. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. It's fun. It's just there's a hell of a lot going on there.
It does seem
in the
that
controller,
way.
Which is the
big
controller. Thing.
Okay.
I mean, no one's talking about the console, which is weird in itself. But the fact is, I reckon.
Well, it feels like the console's just this kind of box in the corner. You don't need to worry about it. It does HD, whatever.
Yeah.
Here's the controller.
The graphics will be good, PlayStation 3 quality at least. I think they're not talking about that because it's very much subject to change.
Mm.
Whereas they finished the controller, clearly.
Okay, well, this was them introducing the controller.
This is the new controller for Wii U. It's different from anything you've played before. It's infinitely complex and yet perfectly simple, all at the same time. It can change the way you game personally, and it can change the way you interact with your family and friends.
Mm, there we go. So I think we've established it's simply complex. We'll get on see if it's usable.
To try and summarize it really quickly, or as simply as I can, it's basically, obviously, they made the Wii, and it pulled in all those kind of casual gamers and people that didn't like computer games and stuff like that, alienated the hardcore gamers.
Yeah.
And so now they thought, right, we need to make something that still keeps the family fun, whilst brings back the hardcore gamers, so you've got better graphics and you've got all the kind of
controls
that you need to play FIFA or whatever. And then at the same time, they're going, well, we can't just do that and that. We then need to take things forward again. So we thought, so they put this touchscreen on, which is them trying to innovate
I mean, for a kicker, it's a 6-inch touchscreen, so this is a big controller.
Oh, and it's really bright. And it's
but you can still use all your old controls, so you can still use the Wii remote.
Yeah, you can use the nunchuck and the Wii remote.
I mean, that's the thing.
In terms of the, so you've got the 6-inch screen, a lot of controls, proper controls, not like
as many controls as there are on like an Xbox or a PlayStation.
As much as you need. And they have thought about how they might use it. So the first one they show you is, okay, you're playing on the TV, someone wants to use the TV, which is a pretty familiar family scenario, and you can just carry on playing
amazing.
The full thing on your 6-inch
screen.
That
is the best bit for me, almost. Because, I mean, you know, if you live with your partner or live with in a flat share, if you have a console in the living room, that's that that situation.
But also, for times when you just need to do something quickly on the Wii, it's good as well. You know, and they showed Wii Fitness, you know, weighing yourself, whatever. Yeah. So you don't have to turn on the television, go into, you know, it's just there on the controller. You can do it all from there, which was nice. They also, some really interesting gameplay features. Yeah. The way, like, so they had you, like, flicking
arrows
kind of things from it.
And also holding up to the screen and you could, like, shoot.
To catch a baseball. Yeah. Did you see that one?
Yeah, and the one where they use it as a golfing green.
Okay, the golfing green, right. The golf one I thought was the best. Yeah, so that was Wii Golf. Okay, so you've got your Wii mote as your golf club, and you look down if you're playing golf, and normally you just see a spot in the carpet. So what they do is you put your controller on the floor, and you can see the ball on the screen beneath you. So there was some people recording in the crowd as they were showing the video. Okay, and they were reacting to, you know, to various bits. So this was the moment they showed that bit with the golf ball on the screen on the floor.
What?
No way! Holy shit!
Wow!
There was a lot of noise.
To be fair, that was kind of what happened in our office when we were watching the keynote.
No,
it was because we'd all knew there was going to be this controller with a 6-inch screen, and we were a bit like, okay, yeah, you can take the telly right away. Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And maybe there'll be a map on it when you're playing Zelda or whatever. We just didn't think about all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the interesting thing when I went and played it, they showed me a couple of multiplayer games which they've been demoing at E3 as well, and both of these games were involving one person having a controller and then the other four people in the room having Wiimotes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying this opens up a new kind of gameplay where you can see one thing and when they're watching the telly, they see a completely different thing. So they can be working against you and you're working against them.
Oh.
And then you swap around. Yeah, right? Yeah. So in one of them, it was called Chase Me, as in me.
Chase me.
It was just a maze. And there was four people trying to chase one person. And the one person with the new controller was running away. It was just all you had to do was run.
Hmm.
And you had a map of where they were.
Yeah.
So you could kind of hide. They didn't know where you were. But they had like a counter on their screen saying you're 30 yards away.
Oh,
and also there were, it was like color-coded. So they were going, right, he's just run into blue zone. He's at the back wall on blue zone kind of thing. However, which is all good.
Yeah.
But they're pushing that because I thought at the time they're pushing that because other additional ones of these controllers are going to be really expensive.
Mm.
But it's since kind of transpired that you won't be able to buy additional ones of these because the processing power will only be able to go to one of these controllers at a time.
Got you.
Which says to me that they're going to release like a Wii U classic controller that will have all those buttons but without the screen. So you can play two-player FIFA or whatever in your house without one person having to have a stupid little Wiimote.
Okay. I mean, there's still a lot to resolve, I think, isn't there? I mean, we're not going to see it till next year, though, are we?
No, yeah, they said sometime between April and December. Yeah. But I reckon it'll be Christmas next year.
Mm. Okay. Good exclusive. PS Vita.
Yeah.
First up, the name. This is them introducing it.
What you've come to know as NGP, our next generation portable, is officially named PlayStation Vita.
Pause and then.
Thank you.
Yeah, there was a bit of a gap.
Is that what you're calling it?
That's probably because there's a room full of people just going, you've just completely destroyed our search traffic for NGP.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thanks a bunch.
Yeah, PlayStation Vita.
It's kind of a nothing name.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything.
It means life if you listen to him as he carries on.
I was on a plane at that point.
Oh, right. Yeah, right. Well, that's the name anyway.
Yeah.
So,
we kind of knew about it. We were just waiting for the name and the release date and the price.
It does have those Duncan Bell patented controls.
It does.
Which is the rear controllers.
Yeah.
Which is
he's
still waiting for his check.
We have been in touch
for
our lawyers. Yeah.
They, I saw that being used on Mod Nation Racer, which is really nice because they used the touch screen. They sort of drew on the touch screen first of all to come up with a racetrack.
Yeah.
And they just did a squiggle, and it instantly makes a whole racetrack for you for your carts. And then you can build the scenery around your racetrack. So as he was pressing on the back controllers, it was springing up mountains around the racetrack. And then as he was tapping on the front screen, it was digging out. So he was digging out a lake. And it was nice, you know. But I got the feeling he could have done all of that with just a touchscreen.
I think lots of people will forget that back touchscreen.
Unless it's really built into games. Yeah.
And also, the video for, what's it called, Uncharted, for it, the developer was like, well, we want to give you the choice to play how you want to play. So you can scale the wall using the buttons or using the touch screen or using the back screen. It's up to you. And it's like, well, that means it's really a bit, you don't know what to do with this screen. Yeah. If you can just, if all you're assigning it is an action that you can use with the buttons it's got anyway.
You see, this is almost the difference between Nintendo and Sony, because Sony has come up with a solid, solid piece of hardware here.
Yeah.
And it can do an awful lot. Nintendo has come up with really one thing. But has come up with about a zillion quite well thought out uses for it.
Yeah.
And really thought, how can we make this into a family and
this is why
experience?
I love Nintendo. Like their innovation is amazing. Like they think about stuff that.
Whereas Sony's just kind of, right, here's the hardware. It does a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Run with it, you know?
Go.
Yeah. Off you
I
go.
Think that's good though for hardcore gamers. I think hardcore gamers like that. Mm-hmm. They like to have the choice of how to play a game. And
but that almost, the thing with that Uncharted is almost what I see might hamper the Wii U a little bit is just that, like, a developer's probably like an easy life, you know? And that's why with Uncharted, they'll just go, use the back thing to do the same thing as the buttons on the front.
Yeah, there we go. That's
like,
solved.
Whereas with this Wii thing, they're probably like, I just want to put Call of Duty on it. I don't want to muck about, like making a new mini game on the touchscreen.
Yeah. In terms of the games list, I mean, the thing that's, people have most complained about with the 3DS is, you know, lack of releases.
Yeah.
A lot of releases already announced, though. Uncharted, Little Big Planet, Wipeout 2048, Mod Nation Racers, we already mentioned, Super Stardust, Ruin, AR Fighter, Hot Shots Golf, Virtua Tennis, Dynasty Warriors.
Hmm.
It's a healthy list to start with.
Whereas the 3DS announcement, they were like, they're kind of, you know, alluded to the fact they knew they had no games on it, and then they were like announcing new ones and going, and that one will be out at the end of the year. Like every single one was like before Christmas.
Yeah.
Great. I've just bought this and I've got to play Sub-Commander or whatever.
AR games.
And the price, €249 for the Wi-Fi only model, €299 for the Wi-Fi and 3G.
Good. Not too bad. Yeah, quite good.
Considering you can use it on your telly, so some people might just use it instead of a console.
Yeah, true. And it's less than what we feared.
Yeah,
put it that
it
way.
Is, yeah,
you know,
fear's a strong word.
I think we said 250, wasn't it?
250 was our sweet spot.
Yeah.
So we've kind of got
that,
there with the Wi-Fi model at least. So,
exactly.
Yeah. We're reasonably happy with that. Okay. Well, there's plenty more. Where
can
that
you
came
believe
from.
It?
I know.
Oh.
Extraordinary. So let me say. Here is the news. Yeah, more gaming news. Assassin's Creed Revelations will launch in the UK on the 15th of November, 1 week after Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Mix in Battlefield 3, landing the week before that, and you've a tasty gaming battle just in time for Christmas.
Also getting some serious attention at E3 was FIFA 12 with new online features and gameplay technologies. All new for 12 are tactical defending, precision dribbling, and the player impact engine, with EA promising much more over the coming months.
Precision dribbling. Interesting. The HTC sensation is causing a sensation, but for all the wrong reasons. Users have been reporting an iPhone 4-esque death grip.
No!
HTC's denied a problem, saying it's normal to suffer some signal loss when an antenna is covered, but it doesn't affect performance under what it calls normal circumstances.
Holding the phone in the other hand.
Yeah.
Sticking with phones, Sony Ericsson announced two new ones on Facebook.
Crazy.
The music-centric Mix Walkman and the keyboard packing Text Pro both pack 3-inch touchscreens. Expect to see them this summer.
App Apple's building a new home. Steve Jobs has unveiled plans for a curved glass circular spaceship HQ for 13,000 employees on a site that was once the original home of HP's computer systems division. Bit of history for you. Jobs says it'll be the best office building in the world when it opens in 2015.
Look forward to the invite. And terrible press release of the week award goes to Travelodge.
It does.
Which says virtual sex will be on offer to hotel guests by the year 2030. It's employed futurologist Ian Pearson to peer into the future. He also reckons we'll get dream menus and hopefully some free Wi-Fi.
Never know, might have it by then.
Someone tweeted a very funny tweet,
what
which said, oh yeah, you already get that in Travelodge. You go to bed and you wake up...
very good. I see where they're going with that.
Yeah. I wouldn't call that a terrible
clever wordplay.
It's pretty bad.
Virtual sex.
Please.
You've got to... I mean... They're employing a futurologist, and the best he comes up with is virtual sex.
Yeah, but if you're a futurologist, there's only so many things you can really do, isn't there?
Especially if Travelodge have asked you to work.
It always turns to sex with futurologists.
I guess yeah. So. Anyway, time to see what you've been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM. Adam, what have you got?
Yeah, I've got one from Maxike.
Oh, excellent.
Enjoying last week's T3 podcast, Duncan suitably
acerbic.
Nice one.
Oh, no, Duncan this week. So I don't think Max Cycle will enjoy this one.
Yeah.
Perhaps not.
Maybe. I can feel Duncan's rage.
Ree.
On iOS 5, Brian Corish tweets, other than Messenger, which I quite like, Apple have announced a bunch of features that Android devices have had for a good year.
As we point out, Messenger is on BlackBerry.
So,
you know. Well,
they make it pretty.
They've done a good job. We always said that, so,
you know.
Yeah.
Whatever. Am I saying the next one or are you?
I'll go with this. We've got Avi Manwal, I think, who isn't happy about us discussing the name of the... dissing, I should say, the name of the PS Vita. No, he says. Vita is better than Nintendo Wii U.
No.
Yeah. I mean, it's all relative, isn't it? But...
Yeah.
Wii U.
Well, at least Wii U is like...
You kind of see where they're going.
Yeah.
Wii
and you.
I think it's one of those names where it does... The logic of it grows on you a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. But Vita, it's just dull. It's dull.
I'm yawning at the sound of it.
You see. And UK Jeeper, who is Tim Cooper. What we got wrong on the T3 podcast last week, understanding time zones.
I'm still having difficulty with that.
I think, you see, that's more of a technicality for me. I don't think we got that wrong.
I'm still having time zones.
Yeah. Adam doesn't even know what day it is.
We were right in some time zones.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Maybe not the one you were listening in, Tim.
You know,
if you were some reason in British summertime for, you know, whatever you were doing there, I don't know. But
we were certainly
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get that straight. Now, what have we got for our gadget of the week?
This week it is the HTC Salsa.
Yeah, I remember this.
Do you remember it? Announced
from Mobile World Congress.
We weren't allowed to touch it. It was in a glass box.
Yeah, else.
But it is. They announced two: the cha-cha and the salsa. So the cha-cha was one with the QWERTY, but the salsa is the one with the touchscreen.
Right.
So it's got the 4.3. It's touchy, but its main thing is Facebook because it has that little Facebook
has a physical button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's completely touching, but the button it has is Facebook. So if you touch this button. You may laugh, but can you guess what it does?
I've seen a billboard advert, and it said the billboard said like everything or something like that. So what, you can touch it to like stuff?
Yeah, well, you can but if you touch the button from your home screen, basically you can upload a picture, you can share a picture from your album to Facebook, and you can also update your status.
So it changes depending on the context. So if you're in the camera, it'll upload something to Facebook.
If you're in Maps, it'll instantly check you in wherever you are. Nice. And if you're browsing, then it's a like button.
I was going to say, because if it just took you to Facebook, I was going to say, I've kind of got an app on my phone that does that.
It's a tiny little weeny step above what your app does.
Is it better than that, that ink Facebook phone? Does it do more than that?
It doesn't feel like as in your face as the ink phone.
And it's a proper Android phone as well.
Running Gingerbread. It's got HTC Sense. It's not the newest one. Yeah. It's the It's still got the 3D home screen.
So if you took away the whole Facebook bit, would it be a good phone?
It would basically, it could compare with something like the Legend.
Wildfire, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So you're kind of your bog standard, quite nice. Exactly, yeah. Android phone.
Looks quite nice. It's got that nice 3 aluminium back thing that's on the Sensation. Yeah. It's blue. Also, what's good is if they've got a Facebook chat app. So that pulls in all your chats into Messenger, and you've also got a separate app so you can just chat like you would on MSN or text messenger, basically, if anyone's online. You do need Wi-Fi, but whatever.
You've got to be quite the fan of Facebook.
You have got to be quite the fan of Facebook.
There's a lot of people who are really obsessed
with
Facebook.
Yeah, and it's nice. Like it's a really good phone, and it's just got that added bonus if you like Facebook.
No. And it's not a gimmick. If you like Facebook, this is really good, isn't
it? Yeah, it is really good, yeah. Okay. Right. It's really simple, you know, clean, like HTC Sense. It's like that. It's not in your face like the INQ, and it's got more premium feel than the INQ one.
Good. Have you got a video of this?
It is. There's a video. We'll be going online with my step-in presenter.
Oh, yeah.
Next week.
Next week.
Because I'm off next week.
Oh, right.
Holiday.
Okay. All right, check that out on teeth.com. Thank you, Ree. Now, there is very little time for anything else except to update on our campaign to get Duncan Bell into the finals.
Yay!
For the T3 Awards Gadget Personality of the Year.
Duncan Bell.
Yeah. The Facebook group is swelling.
Yes.
So let me say thank you to Adam Parton, Adam Robbins, Andrew Story, Dan McKenna, David Chow, Finn Goulding, Finnis Saunders, Gareth Reagan, Jenna Poon, Kieran Gohill, Liam Fenner, Martin Lund, Michael Hearn, Nick Booth, Paul Das, Phil Cosgrove, Rebecca Harrison, Rowan Saunders, Scott Window, Seth Waring, Shay Samantha Eccleston, and William Anthony Shufflebottom. You
Amazing.
Are all founder members of the Duncan Bell for Gadget Personality of the Year group on Facebook.
Woo!
Well done.
Adam, where's your name?
As for the rest of you...
Where's yours?
As
right,
for
I
the rest
there.
Of you, yeah. I am disgusted that you ignored a direct order
it was.
On the last podcast
yeah.
to join the
and
Facebook
we know
so
more than those people listen
we,
to the podcast,
we do.
You know? At least another 5.
At least.
It's kind of ironic.
Several thousand, I'll have you know. So this, to the other several thousand of you listening now, okay, this is what you need to do. It's very simple. You go on Facebook, you type in Duncan Bell, you click on groups, and what I think we discovered last week about the fifth one down.
Yeah.
After you've got past Duncan Bell is a you know is Duncan Bell for Gadget Personality. Yeah, click on that, join the group. You'll be very, very, very welcome.
Yes.
And the other thing you need to do is go to awards.t3.com, fill in all the other categories. But when you get to category 13, you need to write Duncan Bell in the wildcard entry group because
yes.
he's been omitted. So it is up to you, podcast listeners, to get Duncan Bell a
yes.
seat at this T3 Awards. And not one at the back of the room.
No.
I mean one near the front, okay?
On the stage.
Yeah.
Well,
just a permanent
eventually,
seat.
Well, yeah,
eventually on
the stage to accept
the award.
Well, no, yeah.
I mean, well, we could get a seat there. We could just nominate him for every award. Like
yeah.
Phone of the Year, Duncan Bell.
There is nothing to stop you nominating him as a wildcard.
No, but he's not a phone. That is what
not,
stops
I,
you from nominating
I'm not advocating that we, you know, we should just sabotage our own
is.
Awards with silly nominations.
It's not silly, Adam. There's nothing silly about this.
What is a phone?
This is serious.
Also, special thanks to Fred Anderson, who tweeted a picture of him voting Bell.
Oh, wow.
That was a nice touch.
That's amazing.
That's hardcore.
More of those. Very welcome. Now, as per the suggestion last week, I did ask for this week Gadget Polly to join us to explain why she should be given Personality of the Year over Duncan. She hadn't got back to me.
Maybe by next week. Maybe she's threatened.
I think that's what it must be. So, you know, I'll try another one next
week. Yeah, let's try another one.
You know, let's see if any of them are man enough
to stand up.
Or woman enough to come on the T3 podcast and say why they should be there rather than Duncan Bell.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, that's about all for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on the iPad. And we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week then, I've been Dan Maudsley and you've been listening to the T3 podcast.